This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bean Cooley, editor of the website TV Worth Watching, sitting in for Terry Gross. This week marks the 50th anniversary of the publication of Mario Puzo's The Godfather. A new edition has just been released with an introduction by Francis Ford Coppola. Coppola and Puzo co-wrote the screenplays for all three Godfather films. This is from the opening scene of the first one.
We've known each other many years, but this is the first time you ever came to me for counsel or for help. I can't remember the last time that you invited me to your house for a cup of coffee. Even though my wife is godmother to your only child. But let's be frank, you never wanted my friendship. And you were afraid to be in my debt.
I didn't want to get into trouble.
I understand. You found paradise in America. You had a good trade, made a good living, police protected you, and there were courts of law. And you didn't need a friend like me. But now you come to me and you say, Don Corleone, give me justice. But you don't ask with respect. You don't offer friendship. You don't even think to call me Godfather. Instead, you come into my house on the day my daughter's to be married and you ask me to do murder for money.
I ask you for justice.
That is not justice. Your daughter is still alive.
Let her suffer then. As she suffers. How much shall I pay you?
Buonasera. Buonasera. What have I ever done to make you treat me so disrespectfully? If you'd come to me in friendship, then the scum that wounded your daughter would be suffering this very day. And if by chance an honest man like yourself should make enemies, then he would become my enemies. And then they would fear you.
Be my friend? Godfather.
Good. Someday, and that day may never come, I'll call upon you to do a service for me. But until that day, accept this justice as a gift on my daughter's wedding day.
Grazie, Godfather.
Great. Give this to Clemenza. I'm unreliable people, people that aren't going to be carried away. I mean, we're not murderers, in spite of what this undertaker says.
That's from the 1972 film The Godfather, based on the novel by Mario Puzo. The book sold about 21 million copies and inspired countless mob-related novels, movies, and TV shows, including HBO's The Sopranos. Mario Puzo died in 1999 at age 78. Terry Gross spoke with him 3 years earlier. He told Terry that many of the stories in the novel came from his childhood.
You know, like the rug stealing scene and the keeping of the guns from the police, you know, that kind of stuff that happened in the family.
Well, tell the story the way it was told to you.
Well, my brother, who's older than me, this guy threw his guns over the airway, you know, the space between apartments, and my mother took them and held them for him. And then he came and got back his guns, and he said, would you like a rug? So she sent my brother over to get the rug, and my brother didn't realize the guy was stealing the rug until he took out the gun when the cop came. So that's almost entirely in the book and in the movie, you know. And there's little stuff like that.
Now, how did your mother feel about protecting this guy's guns?
Oh, in those days, this is when I was a very little kid, that was thought of as nothing. You know, that was like he was a neighbor and he wanted you to do it, and you did it because you were afraid of him, because you hoped, you know, that he would help you out. For instance, the business about the dog being permitted to stay in the apartment, that happened to my family. My mother didn't want to get rid of the dog, so she went to the local guy of respect I don't even think they thought of them as criminals. There were people who had influence. The way you would go down to your congressman, for instance.
So tell the dog story.
As it happened in the movie, the landlord wanted my mother to get rid of the dog, and she didn't want to get rid of the dog. And he was going to kick her out, and the local whatever he was, I never really understood what he was, he told the landlord not to do it, and the landlord didn't do it.
Did she do anything to pay respect to the local organized crime figures who in part controlled the neighborhood?
Well, you have to remember that those figures are usually related by blood, you know, and were members of a family, so you gave them presents. If you had a family member who was powerful, you made sure that you gave him a present at Christmas, you know, or a special occasion, which was not regarded as a payoff in any way. It was, for instance, my parents grew up in Italy where, since they were mostly illiterate, when they had a letter that had to be read, they would go to the local priest to have the priest read it for them, but they would automatically bring a gift. They'd bring three or four eggs or, you know, chicken or something like that. It's a whole different relationship. It wasn't a bribe. It's a mark of respect. It's not like they said, you got to give me a piece of chicken or you got to give me an egg and I'll read it for you. It was just understood. In the same way, the local neighborhood guys that had influence, you gave them presents.
Now, what were some of the most difficult parts of adapting the novel into the screenplay?
It was a cinch.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, it was a cinch because it was the first time I'd ever written a screenplay, so I didn't know what I was doing, you know, and it came out right. And the story I tell is that after I had won two Academy Awards, you know, for the first two Godfathers, I went out and bought a book on screenwriting because I figured I'd better learn, you know, what it's about, because it was sort of off the top of my head. And then first chapter of the book said, study Godfather 1 as the model of a screenplay. So I was stuck with the book.
Now, I'm wondering, with the dialogue, everything is so, I mean, not everything, but the characters who really have power are very euphemistic in their language. So they could be giving you the message that they're going to kill you unless you follow their orders, but they'll be saying it in the nicest way, and of course, killing would never be mentioned. Everything's kind of beneath, you know, between the lines, beneath the surface. What made you write the dialogue for these powerful, violent people in that coded way?
Well, it does come from the way the Sicilian mafia operated. In fact, there was a funny story that an Englishman came to live in Sicily, and he got a kidnapping note, because they liked to collect the money for kidnapping you before they kidnap you, so they didn't have to go to the bother of kidnapping you. That was the way they operated. But the Sicilian mafia wrote this Englishman such a flowery note, he thought they were paying him some sort of compliment. He didn't realize they wanted like 50 grand off him before they kidnapped him, so to save everybody the trouble of going through the kidnapping. But it was very flowery. Your Eminence, we love you, you know, we'll do anything for you. If you have any trouble, give us a call, you know, and meanwhile, just send us 50 grand and you'll never have any trouble with anybody. But that's how they talk. That's where I got it from. They were great believers in collecting money before doing the job.
refuse.
Yeah.
Does that line have its roots in mob lore that you knew, or did
I made it up. I wrote memos on how we could plant that line because I was sure it would become a famous line. You know, I recognized the fact it would become one of those lines that people would always be using. So that was really sort of carefully constructed, you know.
You are the one dream I pray comes true.
Please, Michael, tell me.
My darling, until I saw you.
Well, when Johnny was first starting out, he was signed to this personal service contract from the big band leader.
Nobody else.
And as his career got better and better, he wanted to get out of it. Now, Johnny is my father's godson. And my father went to see this band leader. And he offered him $10,000 to let Johnny go. But the band leader said no. So the next day, my father went to see him, only this time with Luca Brasi. And within an hour, he signed a release for a certified check of $1,000.
Well, how'd he do that?
My father made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
What was that?
Luca Brasi held a gun to his head, and my father assured him that either his brains or his signature would be on the contract. That's a true story.
Ma pallarezza stunga muri.
That's my family, Kay. It's not me.
Terry Gross interviewed Mario Puzo in 1996. He died in 1999 at the age of 78. We're celebrating the 50th anniversary of Mario Puzo's novel, The Godfather, which was published 50 years ago this weekend.